tayo po'y tumayo as we read God's Word through responsive reading. Buksan po natin ang ating Biblia sa Hagay, Kabanata 1, Talata 1 hanggang 15. Babasahin ko po ito sa Magandang Balita, Biblia. Matatagpo ang passage na ito sa page 9 ng inyong mga bulletin or you can read along the screen. Lahat po ng mga naka-underline na talata ay babasahin ng kongregasyon. After ko pong basahin ang passage, ay sasabihin ko na ito ang salita ng Diyos at kayo po ay sasagot ng salamat sa Diyos. Talata 1. Ang aklat na ito ay naglalaman ng mga pahayag ni Yahweh sa pamamagitan ni Hagay noong ikalawang taon ng paghahari ni Haring Dario sa Persya. Noong unang araw ng ika-anim na buwan, si Yahweh ay nangusap kay Hagay para sa kay Zerubbabel sa gobernador ng Juda, anak ni Sealtiel, at sa pinakapunong pari na si Josue, anak ni Jehozadak. Dahil dito, sa pamamagitan ni Propeta Hagay, ay sinabi ni Yahweh sa sambayanan, "Hindi ba ninyo napapansin ang mga nangyayari sa inyo? Alam ba ninyo kung bakit ganyan ang nangyayari?
Hindi ako nasisiyahan sa mga ginagawa ninyo. Kaya pumunta kayo sa kagubatan at gumawa ng mga korsong dadalingin sa kapalit na kayo ng Pedro. Upang ako ay nasiyahan at doon ay nangyayari ng
mga. Umasa kayo nga ani ng masagana ngunit kayo'y nabigo. At ang kaunting ani na iniuwi ninyo ay akin pang isinambulat. Ginawa ko yan sa inyo sapagkat abalang-abala kayo sa pagpapaganda ng inyong mga bahay samantalang ang templo na aking tahanan ay pinababayaan ninyong wasak. Matinding tagtuyot ang ipinararanas ko sa buong lupain, sa mga kabukiran at kaburulan, sa mga inaning butil, sa mga bagong alak sa lahat ng ani, sa lahat ng tao at hayop, at sa lahat ng pinagpapagura ninyo. Nalugod siya, kaya't sa pamamagitan ni Propeta Hagay ay muli niyang ipinasabi sa sambayanan, "Nangangako akong kayo'y aking papatnubayan." Noong 24 na araw ng ika-anim na buwan ng ikalawang taon na paghahari ni Dario. Mga kaibigan, ito ang salita ng Diyos. Maaari na po tayong makaupo.
Thank you. Magandang gabi po sa inyong lahat. Ako po si Aaron Villafuerte. Naglilingkod po bilang isa sa mga pastoral assistants ng iglesia pong ito. And kung kayo po ay first time, we would like to welcome you sa gawain po ng Crossroads. Si Pastor Alvin po kanina sa ating prayer of confession read to us Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 which says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Ito pong mga salitang ito na binitawan ng ating Panginoong Jesus would summarize the acceptable priorities of life para po sa mga tao who would follow Christ. Para po sa mga disciples ng ating Panginoon, this is entirely new and unexpected. Because ito pong kanyang sinabi is both liberating sa kanya pong potential and also intimidating sa kanya pong demands. Yung kanya pong mga disciples, katulad po natin, we share a natural inclination na kung saan we worry about the basic necessities of life. Malaking porsyento po ng ating panahon sa bawat araw ay ginugugol natin sa ating pong pagsusumikap na makapag-provide para po sa ating mga basic necessities. Like food, shelter, clothing. It must be one of the reasons kung bakit po tayo nandito sa Dubai laboring sa ating pong mga trabaho. But these concerns, if not balanced by a sense of urgency patungkol po sa sa ating paglilingkod sa Panginoon, can undermine yung pong right sense of what is actually important sa buhay natin. And that is the advancement of God's kingdom. In fact, if we are going to be preoccupied with such concerns, we can live a kind of life na kung saan we focus dun po sa mga temporal things ng mundong ito, and then serve the Lord with what is left of our resources, of our time, or of our strength. Ngunit hindi po ito yung path to authentic discipleship. Jesus instead urged yung kanya pong mga tagasunod to seek first the eternal priorities of God's kingdom. And when they do that, they can rest assured that their Heavenly Father was not only aware dun po sa kanilang pangangailangan, but that He also will bountifully supply those needs of His people. And to prove yung pong point na yon, He illustrated from Matthew 6 regarding natural order ng creation. Yung pong argument that follows that comes before Matthew 6:33, He says that if God provides for the birds of the air, if God clothes the flowers of the field, how much more will He not provide for mankind, who is the pinnacle ng kanya pong creation? And if common grace is such that yung pong mga provisions ng necessities ng ating buhay are generally available para sa lahat, does not logic suggest na ito pong mga provisions na ito would also be available for those who seek to follow the will of God? It seems na bawat generation po ng believer would, from ancient time up till now, must relearn this lesson once again. Ito po yung katotohanan that was ignored probably by the people to whom the prophet Haggai delivers his message. Because in reality, ito pong mga tao na to, they have sought first their kingdom, they have sought their self-comforts, and then they would get around to do the work of God after their priorities of self have been settled. And this opens us sa ating pong series sa book ng Haggai. I have entitled this series as Prioritizing God's Greater Glory. And I will be with you for the next 4 weeks, and we will look at this short book with 2 chapters, 38 verses, and see God's message for us. Let me pray for us. Almighty and gracious Father, since our whole salvation depends on our true understanding of your holy word, would you grant, O Lord, that our hearts, freed from the affairs of the world may hear and understand your word with all diligence and faith, so that we may rightly discern your gracious will, cherish it, and live by it with all earnestness to your praise and honor through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're writing, ito po yung main point ng ating sermon sa gabing ito. Seeking God's kingdom should be our priority because our obedience is for our good and for His glory. Yung ating daw pong priority is to seek for God's kingdom because if we follow and obey Him, it is for our good and for His glory. Three things. Number one, God challenges His people to evaluate their situation from verses 1 to 6. Second, God commands His people to obey His instructions in verses 7 to 11. And lastly, God comes upon His people with His presence and power when they obey. Verses 12 hanggang 15. Let's look at the first one. God challenges His people to evaluate yung kanila pong situation. Verse 1, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, let's stop there. Here we have Haggai dating yung kanya pong prophecy, his first writing, to the first day of the sixth month of the second year of the reign of the Persian king, Darius. This brings us at about 520 BC. To be specific, commentators would say it's August 29 of the year 520 BC, meaning before po, before Christ. Kung maaalala po natin in the history ng people of God in Israel, around 721 or 22 BC, yung pong northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed and yung pong people of Israel were led to captivity by the Assyrians. Assyria po yung superpower. Yung po yung panahon na kung saan si Jonah was prophesying, di ba? Assyria was superpower. So sila po yung rulers ng mga panahon na yon. And then, around a century later, yung pong southern kingdom ng Judah was also destroyed by another superpower na tumalo po sa Assyria, which is Babylon. And then, ito po ay naganap noong 587 BC. Ito po yung panahon na kung saan dinala sa Babylon yung pong mga magagaling sa land ng Judah, yung kwento ni Daniel when they were brought back to Babylon. Ito po yung panahon na yon. And so we have a superpower, Assyria, na tinalo po ng Babylon, who destroyed yung pong southern kingdom. But in 539 BC, yung pong superpower na Babylon was also defeated by the Medo-Persians. And yung ruler po noon ng Persia was Cyrus the Great. And so, since yung pong mga tao who are in Babylon were taken captive from different parts of the world, tinalo po yung Babylon ng Persia, yung pong Persia in 539 allowed the people to go back to their own lands. And so yung pong people of Judah na kinuha ng Babylonians at dinala sa Babylon, pinayagan po sila ni Cyrus na bumalik sa kanila pong mga tahanan. Haggai, kasama po ng kanyang mga kabayan, ay isa po sa mga bumalik from Babylon to Judah, to Jerusalem. And they were there in the process of rebuilding yung kanila pong nation. We'll read about that sa book po ni Ezra, that they started to rebuild yung pong altar. Yung binasa natin kanina, si pangungunan ni Brother Eric says na sira po yung bayan nila. But here in Ezra, nakita natin that they started rebuilding yung altar kung saan they would do yung kanila pong sacrifices. But there's a problem. Let's continue reading. The word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Meron po tayong ilang pangalan dito sa ating passage. Una, we have Haggai the prophet. Wala po tayong masyadong alam about who Haggai is. There is no mention of his lineage. Wala pong mention ng kanyang family or any next of kin. Yung kanyang pong pangalan appears 11 times in the Old Testament. 9 of which dito po sa kanyang book. 2 of which appears in the book of Ezra. Most commentators would say na yung kanyang pong pangalan means festal or festive. Perhaps siya po ay pinanganak daw during an Israelite feast day. That's why yung po yung kanyang pangalan. But what we know is Haggai evidently returned from Babylon kasama po si Zerubbabel, who was the governor nung panahon na yon. He was one of the first prophets to preach in Jerusalem after the exile. Matapos po nilang bumalik. Ibig sabihin, he was preaching to a post-exilic people. Second, we have Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. Ito pong si Zerubbabel, his name means seed of Babylon. Apparently, perhaps siya po ay pinanganak sa Babylon during the time of exile. That's why yun po yung kanyang pangalan. Ito pong si Zerubbabel was the heir apparent to the throne of David. Siya po ay apo ni King Jehoiachin, na kung saan mababasa natin yung kanyang kwento in 1 Chronicles chapter 3 verses 17 to 19. At ito pong si Jehoiachin ay yung kanyang pong pangalan sa genealogy ni Christ sa Matthew chapter 1 is Jeconiah. If you're going to look at for Jehoiachin dun sa lineage na yun, sa kanyang genealogy, you won't see Jehoiachin, but you'll see Jeconiah. So we have Haggai the prophet, we have Zerubbabel the king, the line of David, and then we have Joshua the high priest. Ito pong si Joshua was the spiritual leader of the post-exilic community. Siya po ay high priest in the line of Zadok. That's why yung kanya pong pangalan. Yung kanya pong tatay, si Jehozadak, was also the high priest nung sila po ay kinuha from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay? Now, addressing yung pong mga leaders na ito by name probably emphasized yung pong kanilang responsibility to lead the people to take the right action. Ngunit ano po ba yung message ni Yahweh sa kanila? Pansinin po natin na yung mensahe po ni Yahweh is not one of judgment as much as it is a message of diagnosis. God's message through Haggai begins with a declarative statement describing yung kanila pong sitwasyon. Verse 2, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord." Ang gusto ko pong pansinin natin dito is that wala pong nagsasabi na hindi po nila gagawin yung rebuilding ng house of the Lord or ng temple. Nobody was disputing yung pong necessity of rebuilding the temple at some point. They were simply stating what seemed to them to be self-evident. Ano po yun? But that now is not the time. Hindi po ngayon ang panahon para gawin natin yung temple na yan ng Diyos. Yung pong kanilang reason for that conclusion ay hindi po explicitly sinasabi dun sa ating passage, but it's not hard to guess what they would have included dun sa reasons nila na yon. In the short term, yung pong panahon na ito was harvest time. As I've said earlier, meron pong altar that has been built. And perhaps the people are busy harvesting nang sa gayon meron po silang mai-offer a sacrifice. Everybody was busy. But more broadly, ito pong panahon na kung saan sila po ay binigyan ng prophecy na ito, ng message na ito from the Lord, is a time of difficulty economically. Remember, they are a vassal state. Sila po ay sakop ng Persia. And there are generally lack sa kanila pong funds. And perhaps doon po sa ambitious project ng rebuilding ng temple, meron po silang kakulangan sa kanila pong resources. Another reason, perhaps yung pong Persian army sa panahon pong ito are making preparations upang labanan po to make a campaign against Egypt, thereby sila po ay nangangailangan ng kanilang resources.
And they take those things from the nations under their rule. So these words were nothing more than just excuses not to follow the Lord. Because in reality, many of the people had become so obsessed with their own lives na meron na lang po silang konting panahon para sa Diyos. Verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, "Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins?" Yung response po ng Panginoon sa kanilang wisdom, nung sinabi po nila na it's not yet the time to build the house of the Lord, ang sagot po ng Panginoon doon was to show na yung kanila pong argument, yung kanila pong thinking was inconsistent, and it reveals a lack of true biblical wisdom sa kanilang pong pag-iisip. Because kung ngayon was such a bad time to build God's house, why was it for them a good time to dwell in their paneled houses? Yung pong point is that they have been quite happy to put precisely the kind of time and resource upang gawin po yung kanilang mga bahay that they have been claiming na wala po when it comes to restoring the house of God. Mga kapatid, this goes the same with us. We may be able to deceive ourselves, but we cannot deceive God. Let us take care that when we begin to offer justifications or give excuses sa mga bagay that we have to do, that God is calling us to do, we give those rationalizations. Mga kapatid, God is watching and He knows. And so let us evaluate yung ating pong mga puso and let us be honest with ourselves. Sometimes, if not most of the time, we procrastinate and put off things that we should do for God. Simple examples: reading your Bibles, praying, sharing the gospel, serving in the ministry. Meron po bang mga bagay that God has been calling you to do that you need to do as soon as possible? Maybe scheduling a meeting with a brother or a sister to encourage them. Or perhaps quitting a job that takes too much time, that kung saan wala ka ng panahon para sa Diyos. Or perhaps checking up on a brother or a sister and asking him on how he or she is in his walk in Christ. And then later on would find out, kung hindi natin ginawa ito, they have fallen from their faith. What do you spend most of your time talking about? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? What do you spend your time and your money on? Ito pong mga bagay na to that you would answer to those questions would give a strong clue as to where the treasures of your heart is. Are we spending more and more time and energy on our pleasures while ignoring yung pong pinaka-fundamental or foundational aspects of our relationships with God and even with the people of God, our brothers and sisters? Evaluate yourselves. Verse 5, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes." Sa lahat po ng kanilang pagiging busy, in pursuing yung kanila pong pansariling interest, they have not been achieving yung pong goals that they have hoped for. Hindi po ba? Though they had sown abundantly, they had not reaped according to how much they have sown. Sino po sa inyo ang nakatikim na ng pesto pasta? Pang mayaman, di ba? Pesto pasta. Alam niyo po kung paano ginagawa yung sauce ng pesto? Ano yung dahon na ginagamit doon? Basil, susyal. Alam nila yung basil. Para makagawa kayo ng sauce na ganito karami, alam niyo ba kung gaano karaming dahon ng basil ang kailangan nyo? Di ba madami? Kasi pagka once na uminit yon, nawawala eh. No? You disappear eh. Di ba? Lumiliit. The same thing here, so sinasabi ni Haggai, they have sown abundantly, but yung ine-expect nila that the same amount of what they have sown ay hindi po yun yung bumalik sa kanila. What he says is, instead, there is eating, but there is no fullness. There is drinking, but no satisfaction. They are being clothed, but not enough to bring warmth. It was as though they were earning wages. Sila po ay nagpapagal na kumita ng pera and then putting those wages sa kanila pong sisidlan na butas-butas. What do they expect? Those things would fall off. So what they got out of life was not what they had put into it. Hindi po nila nararanasan yung fullness ng blessings ng Diyos, but rather, what they are experiencing is an inadequate, unfulfilling life in which every pleasure proved disappointingly incomplete. Bakit po ganito yung kanilang buhay? Well, the problem is definitely not because God lacks power to bless. See how the Lord was mentioned here? Their God was the Lord of hosts. Ito pong title na to focuses on God's power. The problem lies rather sa kanila pong mga action, which is why the Lord tells them repeatedly, consider your ways. Give thought to your ways. Hindi po sila kumikilos in faithfulness sa kanila pong covenant obligations as God's people, which is why God addressed them as this people at hindi po my people. They have put their own interests before God's interests and have reaped yung pong consequences ng mga priorities na meron sila sa kanilang buhay. A life that is full of futility, of vanity, and of worthlessness. And just a side note, yung pong futility curses ay standard part ng mga ancient Near East covenants nung panahon pong iyon. And here, sa passage natin, ito pong mga curses na ito had become a reality para po sa buhay ng mga Israelites because of their unfaithfulness sa Diyos. As a matter of fact, this is what Moses tells the Israelites back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Yung pong mga curses for their disobedience. Chapter 28 ng Deuteronomy verse 38 says, you shall carry much seed into the field and shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. So what does God want them to do? He wants them to consider their ways and examine and evaluate yung kanila pong situation. See if they are acting in faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. And for us, this is also what we have to do. Sometimes, if not most of the time, we get very busy sa ating pong buhay. Our lives are mostly spent reacting sa mga demands around us. We react sa mga requests ng ating mga boss, sa mga schedules ng ating mga anak. We accept invitations or requests easily to the point na lahat ng event nandun ka. Our kids want to join soccer practice, so we let them. They want to go swimming lessons, we let them. Then there's music practice, we bring them. Our neighborhood community asks for help, so we oblige. Our company wants to send us on a business trip to join a convention, so we say yes. And the list goes on. God's message for us today is to consider our ways. Maybe what you are spending your time and energy on is not God's best plan for you. Perhaps it is something that in and of itself is not sinful. Hindi ko po sinabing yung mga examples ko kanina ay makasalanan. Or if you want to renovate your homes, hindi po yun masama. But it might not be the best. The busier we are with pursuits of this world, the less time that we have for God. The lesson for us today might be that you will need to cut something out of your schedule. You might need to say no. And at the very least, you need to prayerfully evaluate your ways and make sure that they are in line with God's will. Point number two. God commands His people to obey His instructions. Verses 7 hanggang 11. Thus says the Lord of hosts. He says it again. Consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build a house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much and behold, it came to a little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and on the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beasts and all their labors. Makita po natin dito that the solution was straightforward. Abandon their excuses and reorder yung kanila pong priorities. In place of the wood na kanila pong ginather para po sa kanilang paneled homes, now they should go out sa hill country and gather wood for the temple or for the house of God. Haggai underlines this with a pun or meron pong joke or something funny dun sa sinabi niya dito. In place of running about on behalf ng kanila pong sariling mga tahanan, they're roaming around gathering wood for their paneled houses, they should instead turn to God's house or turn God's house from a useless, desolate ruin into a place in which God may delight and be glorified. Yung kanila pong distress was, in fact, the logical consequences of their priorities. Dahil po yung temple ng Diyos was desolate, or it lies in ruins, therefore, God had summoned drought upon its fruits, upon the fruits of the soil and the efforts of their hands. And so unless na yung kanila pong priorities were reordered, they could hardly expect to see greater fruitfulness in their land. Mga kapatid, which do we prefer? Providence or reverse providence? The same thing may happen to us. When we try to work in our own strength, we may find ourselves working harder but accomplishing less. God can cause so many things to pop up na kung saan it would drain away yung ating pong time and energy, bad health, division with other believers, complaints, conflicts, different policies, paperworks,
medical emergencies, accidents, etc. If we find na yung ating pong resources is inexplicably drying up every month due to unexpected expenses, you should consider your ways. Are we giving? Are we putting God first? Now, hindi ko po sinasabi na kung kayo po ay magbibigay, God will be obligated to bless you. But it may be that you are living in complete obedience and yung pong mga bagay that you're experiencing are trials from God to test and refine you. But it may also be that you are struggling against God's current and you are feeling yung pong effects nito. And therefore, we must step back and prayerfully evaluate and ask God to reveal yung pong cause sa atin. Third and last, God comes upon His people with His presence and power when they obey. Verses 12 hanggang 15. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Yung pong result ng preaching ni Haggai was immediate. Si Zerubbabel, si Joshua, and all the remnant of the people recognized yung pong boses ng Diyos as it came from or through Haggai. Now, tinawag po yung mga tao as the remnant of the people. Bakit kaya? Well, it focuses yung kanila pong attention on the judgment for the unfaithfulness that God's people have already experienced. Sila lang po yung tira. That's what remnant means. But at the same time, it also focuses dun po sa promises ng Diyos na yung kanya pong judgment upon their sin would not completely obliterate them. Pangako ng Diyos that there is a remnant that would remain. Now, ito pong mga tao na to who had returned were convicted anew sa kanila pong kasalanan of unfaithfulness or being unfaithful to the Lord with respect to the temple. And in consequence, they felt afraid. They became afraid before the Lord. They feared the Lord. Ito pong attitude na ito is not merely one of reverence before the Lord. Hindi lang po ito that we are in reverence sa Diyos. That's why we fear Him. But this attitude of fear that has come upon the people of God is rather an appropriate feeling of holy fear na dumarating po dun sa mga tao who recognized God's commandments and the ways in which they have fallen short of meeting yung pong mga demands ng Diyos. They recognize that God's justice is right in judging them. Meron pong mga panahon sa buhay natin when we, katulad po ng mga Jews dun sa panahon ni Haggai, have lost our ways. God may remind us from Scripture or could send someone into our lives to remind us to get back on the path. At sa punto pong yun, we have two choices. We could either harden our hearts and defend ourselves and justify our actions, or we can repent and obey God's demands. Mga kapatid, if that day comes, let us be humble enough to be teachable. 13 hanggang 15. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. We see that as they turned yung kanila pong hearts toward the Lord, they found that the Lord had already turned towards them. Announcing through Haggai yung pong comforting news that I am with you. After repentance and restoration came prompt action. Ano po yung action? The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, of Joshua, of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Yung kanila pong godly sorrow is never an end in itself. It always issues in an appropriate response of renewed obedience to God. Dun po sa last verse, it says, it's now the 24th day of the month, in the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. A mere 23 days have passed since the first word of the Lord to his people through Haggai. As we close, ito pong book ng Haggai could easily be misrepresented as a passage to gain material prosperity. Dali pong i-preach ng prosperity dito sa book na to. To be sure, Haggai tells the people that they may expect God's blessings from now on. And ito pong mga blessings ng Diyos na ito are under the Mosaic Covenant were demonstrated in physical and material prosperity. But material blessings ay hindi po yung primary response ng Diyos sa kanilang obedience. Rather, ano po yung sagot ng Panginoon sa kanila? It was an assurance of God's presence with them in their current circumstances. Yung pong visible symbol of God's presence in the midst of His people is no longer the temple, as is in Haggai's time. Hindi rin po ito yung church building. But rather in the New Testament, it is Jesus Christ Himself. Thus, in John chapter 2, when Jesus had ejected yung pong mga money changers from the temple, He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again." Hindi po sinasabi ni Jesus dito that He will do the same thing that Haggai did in only 3 days. Rather, what He meant was that His body would be raised up on the 3rd day. The very event that we will be celebrating with Redeemer Dubai on Sunday. And as Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus physically represented God's presence in the midst of His people. And now that Jesus has ascended to heaven and poured out His Spirit upon the church, God's presence, guess what, is represented in this world by us. His people. And as the body of Christ, the church is the new temple made of Jews and Gentiles being built together as a holy dwelling place for God. Ngayon, kung ito po yung ibig sabihin, if this is what building God's house means, then it is a task that is far beyond our capabilities. Hindi po natin kayang gawin yun. If building the temple of God, and temple means the people of God, hindi po natin kayang gawin yun. It's not simply a matter of collecting wood and stone, but it's collecting and shaping living stones. And thankfully, building God's house is not ultimately our task, but it is Christ's task. He is the one who bore the cost of building His house. Mga kapatid, when we realize that it's relatively easy para kay Jesus to come in judgment and gumawa po ng whip to drive the sinners out of God's physical house in Jerusalem dun sa John chapter 2, but it was far more painful na task for Him to come as Savior and make sinners fit to live in God's house. Because to do that, God the Father would have to turn the whip upon His own Son. So that He, Jesus, might take upon Himself the punishment that our sins deserved. And this is what truly happened. Ito pong dalawang aspects na to ng ministry ng Panginoon ay parehong mahalaga. On the one hand, He has taken upon Himself the punishment that we deserved for our self-centered failure to seek God's kingdom and to build His house. And on the other, in cleansing His temple, He has shown yung kanya pong zeal for God's house and God's kingdom that we ourselves don't have. And guess what? If you believe this message, if you believe this good news of what Christ has done, yung pong righteousness of Christ has now been credited to us as if it were our own. Just as our sin of being perpetually interested sa ating pong pagbuild ng sariling houses has been placed on His account. God's work of building His new temple, the church, by means of His Spirit is the foundation and encouragement para po sa ating work. It was because God roused their spirits that Haggai's hearers set to work with enthusiasm. It is because God is at work in our earthly bodies by His Spirit that we are called and empowered to glorify God with our bodies. It is because God is committed to establishing His kingdom in and through us that we are called to seek that kingdom first above all things. Mga kapatid, yung pong resulta of seeking God's kingdom first will not necessarily be earthly prosperity. That I can assure you. It may not even be having a very large, successful churches. Because yung pong ministry ni Jesus on earth was not characterized by those things. But God does promise His repentant people His presence with us now. And the fulfillment of His goals in the longer term. Let us remember what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What else do we need? What else do we desire? Mga kapatid, in place of our preoccupation with food that does not fill, with drink that does not satisfy, and with clothing that cannot warm our souls, God promises us the bread of life, the fountain of living water, and clothing to cover our spiritual nakedness. Let us remember that seeking God's kingdom should be our priority because our obedience is for our good and for His glory. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty Father, that as You constantly remind us in Your Word and have taught us by many examples, that there is nothing permanent in this world, but that the things which seem the firmest tend to ruin and instantly fall, and of themselves vanish away, when by Your breath You shake Your strength in which men trust. O grant, O Father, that we, being really subdued and humbled, may not rely on earthly things, but raise up our hearts and our thoughts to heaven, and there fix the anchor of our hope. And may all our thoughts abide there until at length, when You have led us through our course on earth. we shall be gathered into that celestial kingdom which has been obtained for us by the blood of your only begotten Son. Amen.